This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All I give a damn about winning.
What's your thought on the Super Bowl,
Randy?
I'm going to stick to my guns, Rich. I had the Jets. I'm not going to jump ship.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Micah Parsons, watch him.
There he gets him. It is Parsons.
The Rich Eisen Show.
They had the ball for, 42 minutes. I think we had it for 18.
Today's guests, host of the Greenlight Podcast and two-time Super Bowl champion, Chris Long, Steelers linebacker T.J. Watt, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Chris Long of our usual Monday show is going to join us shortly. We've got Overreaction Monday coming up. T.J. Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's playing tonight. He's joining us in hour number three. Browns and Steelers is the late game, an hour staggered start, 7 Eastern for Saints and Carolina.
Love the double.
And then an hour later will be kickoff between the Browns and the Steelers. Same thing's happening next week, too. You've got Philadelphia and Tampa starting early, and then Rams at Cincinnati starting late.
Love it.
Double headers. Just to kick off the season.
Let's
That's
do it
what
every
you want
Monday.
Is more football.
That sounds fun.
Right. Yeah, well, as somebody who's working it for radio, I'm fine with one.
Oh, do you have to do both halftimes?
I don't think so. I'll let you know.
You have no idea.
I'm just taking it one day at a time, hoping for the best. You know what I mean? I don't have a crystal ball.
That's great.
But you do, though, Rich.
I do, actually. We do.
We do have a crystal ball.
It's too heavy.
I know. I just wish you would put it next to your desk, and that way we could at least see it.
But Rich, you've been working out. So,
hey.
You know what I mean?
You're getting Buff Bagwell now.
Buff Bagwell. Didn't know that's what my nickname was around
Buff
here.
Bagwell.
Very good. I've been holding my powder on the Jets. That's coming up in hour number three. We've discussed many of the games that we saw in week number two. Let's go to the phone lines here. Kevin in Rochester, New York. What's up, Kevin?
Hello.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, that's like Uncle Leo. Hello.
Hello.
What's up, Kevin?
Sorry, I was waiting for an hour, so it kind of caught me off guard.
Go ahead. You're on, sir.
What's up, man?
You're on guard.
I'm so excited.
Great.
Yes. Go Badgers.
Hey.
But I know.
Okay, good. It's good.
Also, I wanted to do a overreaction Monday on the Cowboys because I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
And I'm actually from Rochester. I live in Jacksonville now.
Okay. Well, okay.
And I know. Trust me.
Okay, so good, Kevin. What's your point, sir?
You'll have
what
to
do you
explain
got for me?
For that,
it's all right. Don't worry about it.
Is the defense that good?
Yes. 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 It is. No, I don't want to hear that. I know where you're going, Kevin. I don't care that the Giants were the Giants in week one and the Jets Jets right now.
Listen, I went through the Quincy Carter era. I went through the Romo, and I love Romo, but how many heartbreaks I had of are we going to get there or is this like serious?
This is serious. This is serious. Hey, Kevin, here's what I'm going to do. Because Chris Long is ready. I'm going to say call back. And just, I appreciate, first of all, congratulations on Go Badgers. Secondly,
I had to get that on.
It's fine. It's all good. We're all over the state of Wisconsin. And I love Big Ten football, and the Badgers are great. And I love Luke Fickell. And, you know, things are just only going to get better from here.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Our running game is good. That's it.
No, you got it. You take care. This is Kevin in Rochester by way of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. How many people are good? You know, we don't care if, you know, where you're from or where you're calling in from, as long as you know.
Add it to the graphic.
Okay. I understand Kevin's pain.
But they're real.
We have PTSD.
Yeah, he's got PTSD.
Oh, my God. Take it week by week, man.
Okay, that's it. Week by week.
That's it.
Let's bring in our friend Chris Long, Greenlight Podcast and Inside the NFL on the CW on Tuesdays back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Christopher?
Rich, what's up, man? I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So which is the storyline that leaps out to you? I'll give you the dealer's choice from the week two Sunday. What do you got for me on that, Chris? What leaps out
probably,
to you the most?
Probably Chris Jones looking like Chris Jones, which I don't know why we were surprised. But in a game like that, when the offense was sloppy, I mean, they're benching tackles. They're leaving points on the board, you know, all types of stuff. The defense stepping up, the pressures went up from, I think, like 13 last week as a team to like 24. So collectively the impacts felt, but also if you went through every money down in that game, he affected all of them. You know, I think he had 5 pressures on third down, 1 on fourth. they don't win that game without Chris Jones. That was a great performance. And it's like 100 degrees out there. Mm-hmm. My man came off the long break and looked great.
Yeah, and defensively, I mean, that's what would give me so much hope as a Chiefs fan normally. But just to see what you're talking about against a team that wants to, for a second straight week, put your pelt on their wall to put wind in their sails. But that's what it is like to defend a Super Bowl championship. So to see that, as you know, how difficult it is to defend a Super Bowl championship, to see that in Jacksonville after what happened against Detroit, despite, you know, the offense not looking like it's on tilt, I thought that was huge. Chris,
I think the offense came along in the middle of the game. Jacksonville kind of gave them life with that fourth down, and they did a really good job in the middle eight. They had some nice drives. And then on top of that, you know, I think the biggest theme is offensively and as a team, but mostly offensively, the new guys have to buy in and make the plays that they're being asked to make. You know, Tony had the drops last week. It looked like for a second he's the shot in the arm they needed. They targeted him like three times in a row. They got something going. Then he puts the ball on the ground. You know, the tackle, obviously, that's a well-beaten path. But Watson with a fumble, like guys that are supposed to step up in this era of Kansas City Chiefs football have to step up. And I think defensively, you nailed it. They can hang their hat on that. Snead did a great job. You know, we were like, what's going to happen with Ridley? He kept him bottled up. And Spags talks about it. They have two guys that can play inside and out. McDuffie in the slot last week, Snead in the slot this week. I thought the defense looked great.
Well, and I think you're referring to when you said fourth down, the Jaguars going for it in midfield late in the game on fourth down. And so I don't think Peterson would have ever done that, say, last year, right? Like that is an indication what others may see on tape of this offense and think, well, we'll give him a shot. You know, our defense has done very well so far. And that did maybe that's something when do guys when they come off the field or when the offense goes on the field saying, you know, what the hell do they think they're doing? Like, let's show them. Does that actually happen?
There's definitely a little bit of a like, oh, we're being disrespected. Mm-hmm. They think they can pick this up, that sort of thing. But I also think people know Doug, you know, can be a little bit aggressive. This was a situation where for me, it was a little bit of a head scratcher because you're playing that game in phase, you know, punt the ball, play defense. That offense hadn't gotten going. So, you know, that's the way it shook out for him, though, taking that risk.
Chris Long here from Greenlight Pod, as well as Inside the NFL here on the Rich Eisen Show. What in the world is going on in the Jets locker room right now? I mean, Sauce Gardner deleted his Twitter account or X account. Breece Hall deletes a tweet where he had four football emojis, meaning one for each carry he got yesterday. Yeah. Zach Wilson with three interceptions to finish the game. What do you think is going on there right now, Chris?
It's just a tough emotion, man. It's like a letdown. It's another letdown for the Jets, obviously. Rich, I'm not trying to, you know, make light of y'all's fandom, but it's like Groundhog Day. It's just with some little different twist and, you know, all the build up with Hard Knocks and the whole thing. And now I think for those players, and this is where I get into trouble as an analyst, Rich, is like, I believe you should give your guys a shot to win. You should burn the ships to do that. You know, I look at them having that first round pick that they didn't anticipate having. And you've got a locker room full of guys, especially on defense. You could point to any number of them and be like, these guys are playing their best ball. Are they going to waste it? Now, they didn't play great yesterday, but I'm talking about, you know, they have talent on defense, and it's hard to play defense on a team that's going three and out and there's sudden changes. Offensively, you got guys like Garrett Wilson. It's like my entire legacy is tied to the quarterback play. And for this team, I think the window was open this year. So I look at this and you see this stuff on Twitter, the football emojis, you know, it's a little early for wide receiver tweets from a running back. And you have a number of like red flags here. And I just think they got to go out at some point. Now it's early because the teams that might give you a quarterback like Minnesota, they're probably thinking we can't do that week two. It doesn't look great. Like we're trying to win, right? And Kirk's look good. But I do think you got to go out and get somebody. I don't think it can be Carson Wentz or some other found piece like a Joe Flacco. Like this team deserves a shot to win the whole thing, a shot. And, you know, they put that work in. They've constructed the roster. And here's what I don't understand from coaches. Mm-hmm. You trade for Aaron Rodgers, and Joe Douglas is my guy. And you say, we're doing what we have to do to win. We didn't have what we had here. Or we don't have what we need here. You know, we're going to go out and make this move. Well, what's changed? You know, like, nothing's changed. And basically what you're saying week two is, it's not important enough. You know, we're just going to roll with what we had last year. You can dress it up however you want, but you're making a decision to go with the status quo. And listen, some people thought I was being hard on Zach Wilson, but some of the same mistakes showed up. And I know that game's not the way they want to play it, but the same Zach showed up in certain spots.
Well, and the guy who I think single-handedly put Zach Wilson in a dustbin for many Jets fans and maybe some of the defenders in the locker room is coming to town at 0-2 next week. Belichick, who, as you know, this is a red letter game to begin with, but this is also a red alert game for his team. My gosh, this is just not unfolding the way that you'd want for the Jets. I honestly don't know what some of these defenders in the locker room might be saying. They, you know, Garrett Wilson says they're all together, but this is on Robert Saleh's plate, I guess. I don't know, Chris.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I've been on defenses where the offense didn't hold up their end of the bargain. Like, you know, I've been on teams where we held Marshawn Lynch to 24 yards on a Monday night and lost. You know, like, it's frustrating. You try not to make it personal. You try not to take it out on the guys on the offensive side of the ball. At least I think what they have going is they know it's the quarterback, right? Like, there are other deficiencies, but I like the O-line. I like Garrett Wilson. I like Lazard. You've got tight ends. Like, you know, like Breece Hall. They have pieces offensively, so you're not going to look over in that room and blame everybody. But where it gets really hairy is, like, we've seen this movie and Zach Wilson didn't have a lot of leash.
Well, I mean, Broncos fans saw this movie too. One last one for you on this, and you know where I'm going. Because, again, the offensive coordinator was brought in first. You know, Nathaniel Hackett was brought in. We all know why they brought him in, right?
Yeah.
And so now it's his job to coordinate an offense for a quarterback who might not grasp most of the playbook, half of the playbook, even at three quarters of the playbook. And then he's the one who was dialing up the passes. He was the one who went away from the run. Do you think Nathaniel Hackett can, if you will, hack it under this circumstance, Chris?
Well, the evidence isn't there to suggest that he would be able to. You know, like, even if they brought in another quarterback, it's not his guy. Like, him and Aaron have, like, a history, and obviously that's why he's there. It's like inviting somebody to a fancy dinner who's got a famous plus one, and then they have a rain check, and you're like, it's just you. Like, you know, I don't mean this, like, disrespectfully, but...
Oh, man.
But it's and Hackett's a good coach. Yeah. But the whole situation was predicated. There's a reason he was a head coach. He's a good coach.
Right.
But, like, there's a difference between being a good coach, good coordinator, the whole thing. And, you know, I kind of wondered how it would play out with Rodgers, right? Because, you know, you kind of assume, hey, from a scheme standpoint, they got it down. He's going to have his menu. But, like, do you really believe that there weren't going to be bumps in the road, even with Hackett calling the plays kind of de facto as a group getting it done? And the problem is with Zach, you can't run a lot of the stuff that you want to run. Like, in that first game, they ran like an RPO in the second half and he messes up the read. And, you know, the run game's a plus, but, like, do you turn his back to defense? You can't make checks that Aaron made. You got to work the half field stuff. Like, everything about it is different, and I just wonder how it's going to work out, even with a new guy.
Chris Long, right here on the Rich Eisen Show in his usual Monday spot before he goes to do Inside the NFL on the CW, as well as the Greenlight podcast with Kyle and his crew. So we haven't discussed Seattle, what Seattle did in Detroit yesterday.
What a game.
I mean, the Lions left banged up, to say the least,
yeah.
And Seattle just put its foot down after getting punked at home to the Rams. How do you think this will serve Seattle moving forward, Chris?
I think it's going to serve them good. Obviously, last year they come out in the first game and they're in a totally different spot where they're gunning for somebody. And now they come out week one and everybody thinks the Seahawks are going to roll. The Rams pick them apart. They pick on a young corner. They don't run the ball. Then they go 10 days rest. Detroit's waiting for them. It's everybody's sweetheart team. and they don't have any tackles. I mean, Lucas is down, Cross is down. They lose both of them week one. And so this is such a big boy win for Seattle. I mean, to go in there on the road, Geno throwing the ball to about 10 different receivers, really efficient, a lot of balls to tight ends. I thought they did a great job, and I thought the young guys in the secondary, one of them that got picked on last week, he came out and made the play of the game. And I don't want to not shout out Nwosu, who got home there to force that. Also had a forced fumble. Witherspoon with his first big play on fourth down of his young career. Like, guys are growing up on that team. And from the Lions standpoint, be who you are. You know, like, I'm a big fan of the way Dan does things. I'm a huge Dan Campbell fan. If you're running flea flickers and you're going for it on fourth down and you're wheeling and dealing and you burn a minute 15 running three plays with a chance to win this thing in regulation because you're worried about the Seattle offense, well, guess what? You didn't get the ball back anyways. So my problem with that is at the end of that game, go try to win it, especially with a kicker that's giving you 6 points back in Myers. So big win for Seattle. And then for Detroit, don't forget who you are. You know, you can't, now that you've arrived, don't be the team that's playing afraid to win. And it's the one time I've disagreed with Dan on not being aggressive enough.
And here's a sports talk radio conversation in our few minutes we have left with you, Chris Long. You can only put, because we're talking about Eagles, Cowboys, Niners, obviously being 2-0. You can only put your marker on one for saying their 2-0 start is real. Commanders, Bucks, Falcons.
Which Falcons. One? Oh, Falcons. Falcons stutter. Are good. Yeah, Falcons are a good team. Like, I don't know if a lot of people are watching the Falcons, but you know, if it's not for the quarterback, I'd probably pick them to win the NFC South. I went with the Saints, but you know, they run the ball so well. Bijan Robinson, the way they go off tackle, and you know, the fortitude to pitch the ball on a fourth and one. Arthur Smith, everybody's favorite analytics head coach. I mean, he's going for it on every fourth down. They get the ball on the edge. Tough matchups for second level defenders on Bijan in the run game. And I thought Jordan Love as well deserves some credit, and the Packers, because they're a good football team, and this is a tough road test for them. You know, Love's got the ball right on the tight end's hand at the end of the game. This could go either way, but I just thought the Falcons did such a great job in the run game. And I mean, Ritter's going to throw you a couple. They come out after that Wicks touchdown and ran the ball 15 times in a row. It was like, we don't trust you this drive. Settle down, buddy. And they go and score. And that's the thing, is like, they're a good enough team to go to the playoffs and maybe win that division, but the quarterback just worries me.
Do you think the clock's ticking on Heineke, Chris?
I don't know. They both throw you a few, but you know, like, if somebody's going to throw you a few, at least give me some magic with it. And I think Heineke's got that magic. Now, Ritter's really athletic. He was able to hurt him with his legs a couple times. I'm not saying give him the hook, but I am saying, like, this is one of those teams where the young quarterback has to catch up to the team because they're good and they're ready to win.
So, and I think this is being the last one I got for you, a testament to what's going on over there, that I'm not going to go in any other direction with the National Football League and ask your 2 cents on Colorado's win over Colorado State. Words I didn't think I'd ever ask anybody in the history of this program, but this is the Dion effect, to say the least, and where plays galore just being discussed nonstop, even today after week two in the NFL.
Talking about it on an NFL show, my show this morning, we're talking about Boulder. I'm like, it's awesome.
You have at it, Chris. What's on your mind about it after seeing it?
Well, as a guy who went to sleep in the third quarter, all I wanted to do was stay up for the handshake. Like, I was like, I'm fading and I'm sleeping on the couch up in my kids' room because we, you know, I got home, did a sleepover, and I'm sitting there on the laptop and I'm like, I'm not going to make it, man. You know, and third quarter, you know, I was out like a light, but I woke up and could not believe what they did. And such a gut check win for Colorado. And I think Dion is brilliant. I really do. I have so much respect for the guy. But also as a head coach, like, he's playing chess, in my opinion. Okay. Like,
how so?
Number one, Norvell brought the drama to his front door with the commentary, right, on the sunglass and the hat. Now, you could let that go, but he leans all the way into it. I think that's smart in general, because teams that think it's personal, Rich, they play harder. But this is a look ahead week. You know, you've got Colorado State coming in, and I know you can't do this every week, but you got USC and Oregon coming up. This is a perfect look ahead week at home. he leaned into the rivalry. And then after the game, what I loved, and you want to see people getting along, man, even after all the BS that went on the field, and I didn't like the hit and everything, but him and Norvell at midfield, I'd really love to know what was said. And Deion going to the podium and saying, hey, listen, man, I'm not going to drag this out. I'm rooting for the guy. You know, we'll let bygones be bygones. I think he's an incredibly socially intelligent guy. And I think people underestimate how well he knows the game, as if we would, you know, but it's like, oh, guy's never coached. Guy played corner in the National Football League. He knows today's game, even though the passing game's changed, he sees the game from the back end. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just a great opportunity for them to seize the moment in Boulder. And I think it's a repeatable, careful with this, but I think it's a repeatable blueprint if you have the right guy. Now, he's one in a million, but like Ed Reed, one of my favorites, he could motivate me to go play right now. He'd bring in NIL opportunities, transfer portal stuff. I know there's the Bethune thing, but I'd love to see like an Ed Reed get a shot.
Me too. I would as well. And Prime was on the show Friday, said he's up for having Warren Sapi as his D-line coach. And he said he said that coaches here don't have to, you know, you're not burning the midnight oil here. Like, you come in the morning, you got practice, then you do some stuff here, and then by the middle of the afternoon, go live your life. And that's what he said. And Deion also sees the game from the outside in as a receiver, right? So he's got both ends. And the fact that he's going into the Oregon and USC games without Travis Hunter is a damn shame. I don't, how is that kid not ejected? How is that not even targeting? Like, what is going on?
I don't know.
Chris?
I think it was so like late and non-standard that people were just like, I have no frame of reference. Like, do I throw this kid out? Like, I've never seen anything like this.
Right.
And you know, it's, I love rivalries and I love the talk back and forth and I love the physical play. Everything was inbounds for the most part, but that was not cool. So I just love talking about Colorado. It's good for college football. People were all afraid of this era, afraid of Deion, afraid of like things changing. It's better. We're talking about college football. It's week three. 4 weeks from now, we might not be talking about him, but we have gotten a month out of these guys.
No doubt. No doubt. Who's on your pod this week, Chris?
So we've got Victor Cruz.
Nice.
He's going to be joining us Wednesday and later in the week, Stanford Steve, the most famous guy in the world. He's on, you know, he's out there on game day. So
Green Light with Chris Long. Check out his podcast every single day, whenever you can, whenever it's out there. And then, of course, inside the NFL on the CW. Chris, remind me if Susie and I ever go to dinner with you and your wife, never to cancel on you. Okay. Write that down. Do not cancel on the Longs.
I don't do dinners, but I imagine if there's these guest lists and Hackett shows up without Rodgers, it's like,
what am I going to do with this guy for the next 2 hours? All right, thanks, Chris. Greatly appreciate it.
See y'all.
Yeah, it's the one and only. Thanks, at Joel number 91 on all social media and La Flama Blanca on Instagram. God, I love talking to him. We'll take a break. Your phone calls. Overreaction Monday when we come back here on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki. A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
Larry David, you are now the new commissioner of the National Football League.
Really?
Yes, congratulations.
Are you kidding?
There you go. Congratulations.
This is a dream, okay? I quit Curb Your Enthusiasm in a second if this is true.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you do first as the commissioner of the National Football League, Larry David?
Number one, and I really don't care if people like it or not, I'm losing the goalpost.
Wait, what?
Why are there goalposts?
Okay.
Why are kickers, okay, who have... They don't have football skills. They're not football players.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're wonderful people, but they're not football players. Why are they kicking a ball through goalposts to decide games? It doesn't make any sense at all. First of all, goalposts are a relic from the old English rugby, I think.
Okay.
You know, when they used to actually run and kick a ball through goalposts. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that in the NFL. There's no need for goalposts. What? Wouldn't the game be better without them? Think about it. Why not just have leaping frogs to decide games? See if a frog can leap through a little goalpost that you set up, okay, on the floor. And if the frog can leap through the goalpost, then do that. What? Why kick it through a goalpost?
Well, it's not called leaping frog ball. It's called football. Yes, so you're saying take the feet out of footballs? Is that what you're saying, Leonard? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Why? Feet are deciding games, and they shouldn't. Why should one player, one player with this skill, like the guy on the Ravens,
Justin Tucker, yeah.
Why should this one player who does nothing but kick a ball be deciding games when you have 52 other players who are actually playing, and this one person, this 53rd person, is deciding games? It makes no sense whatsoever.
The real mashup of that interview is our most viewed reel in the history of our Instagram page. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, one with our Roku feed. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's go to the phone lines. Nick in Corona, California.
Poor Nick.
Nick, you got to win 15 in a row now.
15 straight, baby.
Nick, you said they'd be the Broncos would be 15-2. You got to win 15 in a row, Nicholas.
So you're telling me there's still a chance?
Yeah. Speaking of which, Jeff Daniels was on just last week, Mr. Harry Dunn. Yes. Yes, we're saying that, Nick. Yes.
Hey, in all seriousness, does Sean Payton need to get back in the booth, or is Russell Wilson really the problem?
I don't know. Russ was balling out in the first half and then stopped.
He did.
You know,
he did fumble. Now, I know that there was a face mask and that didn't get called, but we can't blame the ref.
No, and there was a bad interception on the sideline that was being reviewed for a while before they upheld it. I don't know, Nick. You know, you know what they look like right now through the first 2 weeks? I'll be straight up with you. They look like last year's Raiders. Take a lead, can't hold it.
Yeah, good
one. I mean, they were up 16-10 on the Raiders at home last week. Could have started 1-0. Lost it.
I got you.
They were up 18 yesterday and lost it. They're 0-2. So that's what it looks like right now to me.
Hey, real quick.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say I love your show.
Thank you, Nick.
I love the crew in the back.
All right, Nick.
My boy, Brockman, every Friday on What's More Likely.
More Likely.
He continues to talk bull junk on my Broncos.
Well,
so I don't know if you recall, but he did say something like Colorado would beat Colorado State by more points than the Broncos would score.
Let me handle this, Chris. Nick, he gave me choices. Yeah. I was the one who chose it. You could say the fact that was even a question is bull junk, but there's a lot of bull junk going on, so you know what I mean? And thanks for the call, Nick. Greatly appreciate it. What's more likely was...
Colorado winning margin or Broncos point scored.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
It was. I took the cheese.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Colorado State in a moment.
The other one was who has more wins, Colorado or the Broncos.
I said Colorado, didn't I?
Yeah. So...
Right now they're up 3.
Yeah,
they're plus 3 on that.
Got a little.
Yeah, they might advantage. Now they might run into a headwind or two over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably.
My Buffs.
Probably, but it's been fun.
And by the way, Dion's appearance on Friday is just a delight. 23-minute conversation with him in advance of that Colorado State game, and the video that has gone the most viral from that. Well, the story of him saying he's never going to go to the NFL, which we knew, by the way. Obviously, he might go to the NFL at some point.
You never know.
Look, he might go to the NFL at some point. Things might change.
Does
I don't know.
Does he want to coach the Patriots next year?
But you and I have watched football games with him at NFL Network. Yeah. When you were on NFL Game Day Morning as Marshall Faulk's segment producer.
Decade ago now.
We would watch games with Dion, who would arrive for the night show that I used to do with Dion. We went our separate ways in-house where they put me on in the morning and he would still come at night, but we would watch games together. And I'm telling you, anytime somebody made a dumb mistake, he would stand up and scream at the screen. Cut him.
Just yell.
Cut him. And I would turn it like, for after a while, we finally asked him, like, Dion, what do you mean cut him? He goes, if I was coaching, that is so dumb, I would cut him on the spot.
Before how many we got times back to the sideline.
How many times would he repeat that?
All the time. It was so funny. Like multiple times per game.
And every time he said that, we never thought he would ever be a coach.
Never.
That could cut anybody.
Never.
And he was just beginning to, you know, start coaching youth football, which he got into. And look at him now. He's, you know, it's the ultimate youth football coach right now.
Yeah, never.
And so we know. So what did he say when he said when he was – that he would start with 53 and come out at halftime with 38.
38 at halftime. Yeah.
He would cut 15 people at halftime.
It's like you.
Get out. Go home. There's your Louis Vuitton. Go. So we get that. But the thing that went most viral was him admitting in his process of ranking his children on Instagram.
As it should, Rich, because a lot of people can't relate to being a football coach, but how many people can relate to being a parent?
Yo, Shiloh is climbing the rankings.
He is.
Pick six, baby.
I know.
Well, we put that out on Twitter.
But apparently he did talk about it after the game. His daughter gave him a big kiss in the locker room afterwards as a big present. So
she's first.
I mean, his ranking system. I don't know how it works.
A little flimsy.
But it's great that he talks about it. All right. Let's hit it. It's Monday. It's time for Overreaction Monday here on The Rich Eisen Show. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
All right, Christopher, what do we have over there, sir?
Hey, guys. Everybody good?
Everybody's good.
What up, Chris?
Oh, unless you're 0-2.
Well, that's true.
You're 2-0. You feel
like there are some 1-1 teams that feel 0-2. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah, for sure about that. You know, he's probably feeling pretty good today.
Who's feeling good?
My man, Daniel Jones. Look, he's still way overpaid, all right? But can we get the man some help? He did it all by himself yesterday, and now Saquon might be out. Like,
I mean, he completed 17 second half passes. Someone had to catch them. And
I thought you were out there for a minute.
Dude, let me just tell you this about him being overpaid. This, at this point in time, is an overreaction. Now, I might be overreacting to not saying this is proper because of what I saw in the second half. But, you know, to quote When Harry Met Sally, whatever Daniel Jones was having at halftime, I'll have that too. Right. You know, whatever Daboll was selling at halftime, I'll have what he's having.
Yeah, it wasn't looking good.
Here's Daniel Jones' second half numbers. I have it ready because I figured we would discuss it today.
I had so many different ones written in the first half.
I know, right? they're trash. Man. They're garbage.
It's going to be bad.
I know. And then you had a...
I had a kind of
how about that
revert.
Second half? 17 of 21 for 259 yards and 2 touchdowns, 8 rushes, 58 yards, and 1 score on the ground. Daniel Jones in a half doing what every Bears fan thinks Justin Fields was going to do every single half, every single quarter, every single game, doing what Jalen Hurts, you know, Jalen Hurts scored a couple on Thursday, but it's one of those
pushes.
Yeah. This dude is all over the map. Now, Saquon's hurt. Let's see what happens in San Francisco. They need him to do that like all game. You know,
they're 10-point dogs.
They need
Thursday.
Him to show up like vintage Kaepernick in Kaepernick's old home. That's what they need him to do in a short week, most likely without Saquon. But I'll say what, you know, that quarterback's being paid $40 million a year. That's not overpaid. That is dirt ass cheap. So for the moment, I'll call that an overreaction and ask you to move on.
Let's get him some help.
I agreed.
TJ, your man. Puka Doncic.
Puka Doncic. What a great nickname.
Puka Brazzi. Let's keep going on. How many can we come up with?
My name is Puka. I live on the second floor.
I live upstairs from you.
Here we go.
I
want to ruin it. What does he have, 25 catches in the first two games?
I think he set a record for catches for a single game catches for a rookie. Right?
Puka's first two games. This should change the way we look at Cooper Kupp's whole 2021 season.
Get out of here.
His whole record break. Cooper Kupp, system-wide receiver.
Out of here.
Could I
ask can't believe you just said
is
those
Cooper
words.
Is Cooper Kupp really good?
Well, for that to happen, Chris, then Puka Brasi would then have to lead the league in receptions, yards, touchdowns, and then go and win a Super Bowl and be Super Bowl MVP.
This may be the first overreaction Monday subject matter I don't even dignify with a response. That's how crazy it is. Although, here's my response. I do believe that all the letters of Cooper and Kupp are in Puka Nacua, except for the N, right?
You might be right about that.
You can't spell Puka Nacua without spelling Cooper Kupp. It's like a Cooper Kupp anagram.
I'm looking at it right now.
You know what I mean?
All I'm saying is, you know, Cooper Kupp only had 16 catches in his first two games in 2021.
Oh, there's no A either. There's no A in Kupp.
Just saying.
The Cooper Kupp. It's close. That's what I'm just saying. What else is next?
All right. All right. This is for Hoskins.
Thank you,
Don
Vito, for having me.
You can't spell Cooper Kupp without saying Puka Nacua.
Thank you for having me, Don Vito.
Thank you for having me.
Nacua Matata.
For
Puka Doncic. What else over there?
Josh Allen and the Bills are back.
That's true.
They're going to win the AFC East.
Yeah. Overreaction. Now, if you just said they're back, and just lay it there. Let's see what happens week four, the Dolphins, pal. Let's see what happens.
Can he just stop trying to jump over people?
But he was himself yesterday. Yeah. He's smiling and he's yelling and he's doing his thing. And they're running. They're like, screw it. Here comes Latavius Murray. We're going to roll him downhill from the 5-yard line. And Damien Harris scored. Like, that's what we're talking about. Dawson Knox in the end zone. Gabe Davis. This is what we're talking about. Okay? So let's put the 5-alarm fire out. It never really was out, on fire as far as I'm concerned, as you know. But the Dolphins, I have said they're the most complete team through 2 weeks in the AFC, and so I will have to push back and say that's an overreaction. They're going to win the AFC East. And it doesn't help the Bills that there won't be a snowstorm when the Dolphins come visit in 2 weeks, we think. I mean, as you know, there's a very crazy climates going on these days. What else, Chris? I'll call that an overreaction.
One of the surprise 2-0 teams, Rich, the Atlanta Falcons.
Indeed.
They got Bijan Robinson, best all-around back in the NFL.
He made a move. I don't know. He made two moves on one run.
His moves have moves.
It's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
All-around back in the NFL. Well, he's one of the few backs that's being used all around.
He has 10 catches for 75 yards. He's second in the league in rushing. Led the NFL in rushing yesterday.
I cannot say at this point in time that's an overreaction.
All due respect to CMC, obviously.
I mean, if I'm saying that the Dolphins are the most complete team in the AFC right now, I know the words right now are not on the screen right now on our Roku channel broadcast. But I don't know. Who else is out there doing it? I mean, Josh Jacobs, you could say.
McCaffrey. McCaffrey's kind of...
Yeah, I'll push back.
They're neck and neck, I think,
now that
right
you just told me that, I'll push back. McCaffrey's the best all-around back in the NFL right now. So that's an overreaction, but you almost had me.
Almost.
You had me at Bijan.
Almost. All right, how about this one? We're talking a lot about it. 0-2 teams. 12%? We'll be positive. 12% yes.
Way to
the
round up.
Last year, we know the Bengals did it. This year, Rich, no 0-2 team. Oof. We'll make the playoffs.
Ooh.
No 0-2 team.
You got the list?
Yeah, so the ones that kind of stand out, it's Patriots, Chargers, Bengals, Vikings. Those are kind of your big four.
Hey, the Vikings still have a shot. If the Steelers win tonight, the Bengals are already 2.5 behind the Ravens.
You're also looking at Steelers. You're looking at... Texans, Broncos.
I'll push back and call it an overreaction, but you're
Cardinals.
Not too damn far off, brother.
I'm going to say none of them make it.
I told you off of the top, I'm genuinely concerned. At least the Vikings, Darn. You know, Kirk Cousins is still winging it around all over the place, and they're just, you know, one game out of first. So, you know, and their losses are against Tampa and Philly, so it's not great for conference record. They still haven't played a division opponent yet, so I'm not gonna be concerned about them too much. What else, Chris?
Couple college items, guys. We can't talk enough about what Colorado's doing, right? I texted you during their week one game. Shador was 100-1 to win the Heisman Trophy.
What is he now?
He's going to win the Heisman Trophy, guys. Shedeur Sanders is going to win the
Heisman
Trophy.
That'll be an overreaction as well. As much as I love the Sanders family, as you know.
He's 18-1.
I'm just going to stick with it. It's Caleb. It's Caleb's world we're living in right now. And there's some other guys that are balling out.
And they were off last week.
Right now, he deserves to be in this conversation. Now, if you're saying Shador's going to be in New York in December, I'll say that's not an overreaction.
Yeah, but
to win it all, to win the Heisman Trophy.
What if they go to Oregon? What if they go to Oregon?
And he has got some big plays on his resume. He's got some nice wins. And then, of course, that 98-yard drive and 2-point conversion to tie it.
And he said he went Brady mode after the game.
I mean, and Brady is, part of his NIL deals.
Yeah.
I love it, but I said it's Caleb's to win or lose, and we'll see it in 2 weeks.
But winning a Heisman back-to-back has only happened one time.
I'm well aware of it. I'm well aware. What else, Chris? You got one more?
All right, last one. How about this one? SEC, not as good. The Big Ten teams are going to kind of beat up on each other. In the final year of the conference, a Pac-12 team's going to win the Natty.
Oof, win the Natty.
They got 8 teams in the top 25 right now.
If you would just stop with the Pac-12's the best conference in college football, I would have said
that. That's obvious. They have the most ranked teams. They're top to bottom, they're the best conference.
Could you imagine if Deion had showed up 2 years ago, and if this had happened 2 years ago, the Pac-12 would never have broken up. Never. Colorado versus Colorado State, the whole country stayed up to watch that game. Get out of here. Next 2 weeks are going to be lit. Because of Colorado alone, and then Oregon State and Washington. So.
USC, Washington,
Utah,
Oregon.
I'll just push back on that. That's an overreaction. Win the national champ. Win it all.
Win it all.
You're on one today. I like it. And that's Overreaction Monday here for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Later.
That's right. The podcast, as soon as we're done today, Chris Brockman and I, we do a whole extended version, 30 minutes or less. It's like a cappuccino shot of takes. Overreaction Monday, where you can get all your podcasts.
That should be our tagline.
Okay. Where all podcasts can be acquired. And then on Tuesdays with the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, What the Football, Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, their first one. Still out there for you to go download or listen to, however you want to say it, with Charles Woodson, Ian Rappaport. Rap Sheet will be joining us, for What the Football. Every Tuesday, go and hit the follow button where you get your podcasts. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Don't go anywhere. Your phone calls, and we'll talk more about Colorado and Colorado State when we come back. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There is so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Back here on our show, just us Roku Channel chickens. I don't know what I'm saying. What's going on over there, Mikey D? How was your weekend? What'd you do?
Football game. I did a crappy
what
game.
What football game?
It was bad.
What?
I'm just not going to mention.
You don't know. You don't remember.
It was an FS1. I do remember.
What was
it?
Who was it?
No. I did Nebraska. I don't. It was actually fun.
They won.
I know, but it wasn't. Next week's game's good. Two top 25 teams.
Okay, good for you.
What do we got?
So I don't think
what
do you got? Top team.
What is yours? What's your game?
I think Washington.
You don't even know who you're doing.
He doesn't know, but he's excited about it. I love your excitement.
I gotta look.
Hey, but you got Nebraska's bounce back after Deion curb stomped him.
Are you doing UCLA, Utah?
Oregon State, Washington State.
That's
a good game too.
The Pac 2.
That's a good
Pac 2.
It's the Pac 2.
Yes.
Lone Wolves.
The two Pac.
Lone Wolves.
Yeah, that's a good game.
That's actually going to be great. I think it's a game too.
So
every other week, I get.
By the way, a new photograph on our YouTube.
Next header. Week's got some really good matchups for college.
It's a Smitch special on our YouTube header
and Twitter.
Is it Twitter too?
I put it up on
okay,
Twitter.
Great.
Also, yeah.
It's all four of us with with the Dion blenders on.
Yeah, I gotta get. I sent it to him.
I sent it to him. I got an LOLOLOL.
That's a lot of laughing.
A LOLOLOL.
A lot of laughing out loud.
I already got a couple pairs coming.
Coach likes it.
This guy ordered some already.
Oh, I ordered them from Darren.
Why'd you do that?
Because
he wasn't here on Friday.
Oh, that's right. He said he was going to send us some
free. Yeah.
Although I think he thinks those are the real ones that we put on.
No.
So we might not get them.
I don't think he
could. Oh, no.
Because they're not even available till December.
Yeah, they don't ship
until
December.
Came out today.
He reposted our Instagram post of that picture, and he put it on his Instagram feed on Saturday.
Look at us. We're players. We're players.
We're out there, people.
Just all I have to say for people is don't hate the game.
Hate the player? Well, no, you don't.
No, no, don't hate the player.
Don't hate the player.
Let me handle that effort.
Now I got it. LOLOL. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So we had Dion on him Friday, and Dion said, "Wait till you see what we got planned pregame for Colorado State," because Jay Norvell, as we all know, was saying how he doesn't wear sunglasses and hats when he speaks to adults because that's how he was raised. I'm like, oh boy.
No.
So Dion had his mother speak to the team.
Goodness.
And then the team comes out of the locker room through the tunnel into the field. Lil Wayne is out there too.
Weezy F baby.
Giving a little mini concert to the crowd. I mean,
it was incredible.
The Dion effect.
It started on the game day.
I know, with
noon,
the rock and whatever.
Amazing.
And he was there. And the game day. Dion effect is so in effect. It's so in effect. Offset was being interviewed during the broadcast when offsetting penalties happened while Offset is being interviewed.
That was incredible.
That was probably the most proud you've ever been of a tweet.
And then and they showed the live action in what's called for a television term an offset. Offset was being offset to show offsetting penalties. I'm like, this is the Dion effect. And I said that Colorado State was going to be thinking like they're the Washington Generals to the Harlem Globetrotters. And then
they should have won.
The show ended and a game broke out after a brawl. Well, hold on a minute.
Well, like, it was very.
A fight broke out, then a game broke out.
Yeah.
And then.
Then there were more fights. And
then the longest yard broke out in terms of football games, right?
Well, Irv was there, right? He was in the longest yard.
No, he'd already come back.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, this was that hit that Travis Hunter took by Henry Blackburn.
Dude, what a cheap
shot. How in the world was this kid not called for targeting?
That's what I mean.
I mean, this is the best two-way player in college sports right now, right? Travis Hunter? How many other two-way players are there in college football right now?
I know there's got to be a few, but I don't
know. Right, so let's not just put this way. He's the best.
Not 100 snaps.
And so how is this not, like, clearly, just roster, knowing the roster alone is targeting.
Yeah.
It's not just anybody that they picked out.
Right.
So it's 12. Go get 12. Yeah. And number 11 of Colorado State got 12. I mean, the ball hit the ground by the time Hunter got hit.
Yeah. It was so late.
And so, my goodness gracious. And Colorado had its hands full because Colorado State was making plays in a way that Colorado was not. They're missing Travis Hunter, who did come back on the field. I guess he thought that he could get through it. And then now suddenly he's hospitalized. He's out for weeks.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Shedeur Sanders. With this game on the line, down 8,
unreal.
Winds up driving the team 98 yards.
Unreal. Brady mode.
98 yards to tie the game and send it to overtime, in which they do win it. And the entire time, I'm sitting there thinking, when I was awake, by the way, because I had to get to hit the hay for game day morning, I was thinking this entire time, how is Dion going to lose this one? Mom's talking at the to the team. Lil Wayne's coming out. The Blenders, go get yours today. Coach Prime, season 2 coming out. He's going to lose this game? Well, apparently Dion was thinking the same thing. This is what Dion had to say after the win.
Truthfully, it's one point in the game I said, we can't let this dude win. Ain't no way we let this dude win. You know, his press conference is going to be unbearable if we let this dude win. And but I knew even when we got the ball on the 2 or 3, 4 yard line, I said, as long as the ball is in Shador's hands, we're going to get down this field. I knew that without a shadow of a doubt. And when we went to center field to talk about overtime, I told him we want the ball. I want you to have the ball. Most teams put the defense out first so you can see kind of what they do. If you don't get, you get three, you know what you have to do. I want the offense out first. I want you to put pressure on them to get them out of their comfort zone.
All right, so Deion's ready for his first overtime game. Clearly, wow. Right? Boy, they took a haymaker from their in-state rival. Literally, at one point or two, it looked like fisticuffs. And that hit, honestly, I do not know if that, how many times have we seen targeting called in college football? Yeah, and we're like,
tell me, you don't understand.
The kid's going to get suspended for that. The next half,
right.
Or the next game, depending on when it happens, for that? For the rest of the game, the kid's going to get ejected for that. And this kid's allowed to stay in? How the hell was that not targeting? And honestly, I don't mean to call out a college player like that, but clearly he was targeting Travis Hunter. Clearly, it's Shador Sanders got targeted later in the game.
Yeah, by Kamara. And that kid was playing such a good game, too.
Man, how the hell is that not targeting? And now Travis Hunter won't be there for Oregon and USC, which is a damn shame, to say the least. But despite all of that, and seeing his son, you know, like, roughed, literally, figuratively, before the game, they're batting down practice passes. We're talking about practice.
Yeah, I mean, that, right? that was reminiscent of the early Hurricanes.
This is what Deion had to say after the game about Coach Norvell and Colorado State moving forward.
You know, I could be petty if they petty, but I ain't got time for that, man. I'm on to bigger things. Hey, I'm happy for the brother. I really am, man. I'm happy that they fought, that they played a good game. I'm happy he's a head coach. I'm happy for any brother that's doing it and successful, man. I truly am. I don't know where all this stuff come from. I have to respond because, you know, it's my mama taught me that. You know, you just ain't going to type me and I'm going to sit back and ain't going to say nothing. But I'm happy for that dude, man. I don't know him, but I'm happy for him. I wish the best for him. I really do. Nothing. My success ain't got nothing to do with his. So why would I want him to succeed? I don't know how people get down like that. My blessings ain't got nothing to do with his blessings.
Striking every chord perfectly. I think it's great. And just in case anybody's wondering, he's not referring to Norvell as his actual brother, because I learned that the hard way one time at the combine. Yeah. There was one guy working out whose brother was in the National Football League, and I'm like saying, has there ever been an instance where a brother covers another brother in the NFL? And Deion chimes in from the field, you mean a black guy covering a black guy? I'm like, no, yeah. Deion.
I posted that on our Instagram last
week. That's not what I mean, Deion. He's staying true to himself, that's for sure. Bless.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.